The Catholic Church has the only complete, unchangeable, unassailable pro-life position on the protection of human life. Father Hardin's talk is a most exhaustive treatment of this topic. It needs massive distribution. Too many active pro-life Catholics feel the victory will be won by forming a coalition with large numbers of those who call themselves pro-life, but are unwilling to condemn contraception and abortifacients. Listen now to one who gives no quarter to the demon of human respect. Compromise is not part of his vocabulary. Father Hardin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary, Mother of God, at your request, Jesus wrote his first miracle, which is water into wine for the wedding guests at Cana in Galilee. Over the centuries, do not cease to obtain countless signs and wonders for the poor exiled children of Eve. We therefore ask you to intercede with your divine Son for the miraculous graces which the modern world so desperately needs, for the conversion and reconversion of all nations to Jesus Christ and his teaching and others on the family, for the heroic preservation among Christians of their faith in the indissolubility of marriage, marital fidelity, and the loving acceptance of children as the bedrock of a Christian family, for the courage of martyrs, all of us believers and saints, and we can witness to his power to overcome the powers of darkness that are bent to destroy the human family and the noble law. Mary, Mother of the Holy Family, and Mother of our families, pray for us. Amen. Of human life. If there was ever an exaggerated title for a talk, it could not be more presumptuous on the subject of our present conference, the Catholic Church, the only protector of human life. What seems exaggerated is the adverb only. It appears to say that no one else except the Catholic Church is protecting human life. Do we mean that? In a profound sense, we do. No doubt, there are many people, thank God, who are not Catholic, and many religions that are not even Christian, not to say Catholic, that are defending human life. So once again, what do we mean? We mean that any person or any religion or any organization in the world that is protecting human life is doing so only because of the Catholic Church, and only insofar as it reflects or echoes the teaching of the one true church founded by the Son of God who became man. When Christ said, "I am the truth," and he established the church, which in its fullness is only the Roman Catholic Church. He meant he would give to this mystical body all the knowledge, all the wisdom that not just those belonging to the Catholic Church, but the whole world would need to know what is the truth. And the late Pope John 23rd more than once said and published an important encyclical on the subject, a Latin title, Mater in Magistra, Mother and Teacher. He was referring to the Catholic Church as the spiritual mother and the only teacher of the whole world of what is the truth. My plan, however, for this conference is not to explain precisely how, except for the Catholic Church that possesses all the revealed truth that God communicated to the human race, it is rather to ask ourselves and answer the question, how is the Catholic Church not only the guide for telling us that human life is sacred, that innocent human life may not be taken without committing a crime? My focus is rather on how the Catholic Church provides the means not only for having us know what is human life and inspiring us to protect human life, but also how the Catholic Church alone in the world provides us the means of protecting human life, preserving human life, safeguarding human life in the face of a massive paganism throughout the world today that is literally hell-bent on destroying human life in our day. Begin by asking ourselves, what is the root cause of abortion? And the answer, the root cause of abortion is the same as the cause of what took place on Good Friday. God had become man, and for over 30 years he lived in obscurity. Then he began to preach the doctrine that no prophet of the old law had ever proclaimed. Christ told his contemporaries, the Father, God the Father, and I are one. He taught that those who believe in him are to love one another as he who is God has loved them. Those who did not believe that Jesus was telling the truth killed him. Beethoven more than once. Everything I am telling you, I received from my Father. He who believes in me believes in the Father. That is why, after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, and the Holy Spirit had descended on the apostles, Peter then had the courage to stand up and tell the people, "You have killed the author of life." The crucifixion, we believe, was attempted via suicide. In its way, abortion is a form of deicide. It is an attempt to attack God by trying to destroy what belongs to God. We go on. Once we realize that the Catholic Church is the only one from the dawn of Christianity that told the pagans of the first century abortion is murder. Infanticide is murder. From then on, the followers of Christ have paid dearly for remaining faithful to the teaching of their Master. And if we're going to, in our century, proclaim the teaching of the Church told the pagans at the dawn of Christianity, "You are murderers," we're going to tell the whole paganized world the same truth. We too, my friends, are going to pay for it. There have been more martyrs for the name of Christ, since 1900, than all the 19 centuries from Calvary to the year 1900 put together. We are living in the capital T, capital H, capital E. We are living in the age of martyrs. The only Catholics who are going to survive this revolution are those who are living heroic lives. In other words, living martyrs' lives. And are willing to die a martyr's death. But as I've said, our focus here is not on the clarity and uncompromising conviction that human life, especially unborn human life, belongs to God. And we are ready to die for that belief. says, how in the name of God are they going to not just stand up and be willing to challenge a homicidal world and insist you are murderers? President Clinton, you are a murderer. My focus is rather how we are going to stem the tide of this global homicide plaguing the world as never before in human history. We begin with a stating of our faith. None of us know evil in the world without a proportionate reason. Given the magnitude of this practical atheism in the modern world, we must be confident that God will mysteriously draw immense good from the evil of abortion. The practical implications of this truth are numerous, yet they can be summarized in two terms: grace and free will. Without a superabundance of God's grace, abortion cannot be overcome. And without the free cooperation of human beings with God's grace, abortion will not only not be overcome, it will spawn a host of other evils. And then, as so many fundamentalists are telling us, they would be true. They would be right. The end of the world, they claim. They are wrong. They claim the end of the world is near at hand. I repeat, they are wrong. God wants to draw a corresponding superabundance of good, such as the world has never experienced, because of, occasioned by, the massive worldwide murder of millions of innocent unborn children. This then will be our conference from now on, centering on two subjects: on the Catholic Church and providing the sources of grace, and on the necessity of our cooperating with our grace. Accepting us Catholics cooperating with the grace of God, abortion will never be stepped out. Our Catholic faith tells us there are three main sources of grace available to us from the mercy of God. They are prayer, the sacraments, and the practice of virtue. If we use these means, And graces will be given, and sanity can be restored in a world that is giving to Caesar, dear Lord, giving millions of human lives to Caesar, which belong to God. First then, the power of prayer. If there is one theme that runs through the teaching of Christ, it is his constant insistence on the power of prayer. He tells us, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Every one of us receives. He that seeks finds, and whom that asks, it will be opened. And again, Jesus tells us, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Oh, dear Lord, believing. Prayer is not an exercise of the vocal cords. Prayer is the heart raising itself to God and begging for the humanly impossible. The efficacy of our prayer, however, as we've heard Jesus say, depends on our faith. Christ promised to have miracles on one condition. If we ask him, provided we believe, that man, the Son of Noah, is the living God. And we read the Gospels. It is both inspiring and sobering to see what wonders Christ performed, but always, whenever is a divine condition, always, in favor of those who indeed honestly begged him, but the most important adversity in our faith. But these people asked him and believed in his power to do the humanly impossible. 46 years in the priesthood, 25 years of teaching theology to my own Jesuit priests and scholastics. I told them, whatever you tell your people, tell them, please tell them, to expect miracles in their lives. We are to be miracle workers. Christ will. That is not a futuristic term. He does perform miracles. He does. On one condition. And we believe. To stem the tide then of abortion will require a series of more miracles. By definition, a moral miracle is a visible effect produced by God which exceeds the natural powers of the human will. We may be sure that Christ wants to work reason in the forest. When he rebuked the disciples and told them that the little children come unto me, he was speaking to all of us. He wants that children conceived to be born, to reach maturity, and glorify him by the loving service. But Christ demands that we pray in faith and trust absolutely in his divine power to change the hearts of stone out of rocks of granite, especially are in the bodies of so many leaders in our society. God wants to change these hearts of stone into hearts of selfless love for the unborn. But we must believe. Now the efficacy of the sacraments. There are two sacraments especially that provide the grace needed to conquer abortion. They are the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of confession. And they should be put together. We correctly associate the Eucharist with the Mass of Holy Communion, while we may not realize either the only Christians hear it. The only Christians attended Mass and received Holy Communion every day. That is a historical fact.